now. Glad to have a chance to talk to you in Tuscaloosa or wherever you may be dialed up, listening to us on our app, which is available free download, Radio Pup, and then also our live streaming at Tide991.com. We will talk in the second hour of our show with the architect of the dynasty known as the U down in Miami, Howard Schnellenberger, in Tuscaloosa this week to sign his new book. We'll be talking about that with Coach Schnellenberger around 1 o'clock. We're going to check in with Ben George, our digital managing editor from Tide991.com in a few moments. But we start our program today, as we do on most Wednesdays, welcoming in the sports director at Alabama's 13. He is none other than Don Hawes. Don, a lot of fans, a lot of friends that miss you down here in Mobile told me to tell you hello.
Oh, you're in the Port City, huh?
I am at the historic Battle House Hotel, which I'm guessing had not even been redone and reopened when you were down here as a sportscaster, both radio and television.
No, that place was a dump when I was there. But yeah, they apparently put some cash into it. I heard it's really nice. I can't even afford to stay there.
Can't either, but they put me up here. So I didn't do it. The Red Elephants were good to me. But, yeah, Vic Lockett among those that told me to be sure and tell you hello.
Oh, yeah, he's a good dude.
He is a good dude. You're a good dude as well. I appreciate the invitation to be on Alabama tonight, Monday, and you waited until the final question to hurl me under the bus with one that normally it's the type of topic you bring up on this show. So I'm proud of you, first and foremost, for doing it on your own program. let's kind of throw it out there, and then we'll get reaction via Twitter. And again, you can reach the station at Tide 99.1 FM and also at C Stewart Sports as we visit on the T-Town Bud Girls Hotline presented by Green Beverage with none other.
And not only that, but don't forget, I just arrived at the Manhattan, Kansas Airport /Hair Care Entire Center.
Yes.
Seriously, I'm sharing the shuttle with pigs and livestock to get to this rent-a-car.
I want to get into all of that, but we got to throw it out and get people's reaction. You asked me the question at the end of our visit on Monday night. Nick Saban, Will Muschamp,
steel cage match,
who comes out alive?
Right.
Now,
and you went with Saban.
I did take Saban, and not just because I have to deal with him on the on his television show each week. I'm going to go cagey veteran. You're going young and crazy was basically the impression I got from you and your assessment.
Yeah, I think Will Muschamp would eat Saban for breakfast in a steel cage match. There's no doubt about it. He's relentless. He wouldn't stop. And there's quite a bit of an age difference there, so I think he would just wear him down.
See, I don't think it would. I think there's probably a pressure point or where Saban would cut the jugular and Muschamp wouldn't even get a punch in.
So you think he would just pop him one time and Muschamp would fall like a sack of rocks?
Boom. There's one spot where he can hit, and I don't know where it is. And again, if I knew, I couldn't tell you.
So you're thinking more grasshopper or kung fu type of thing. See, I'm thinking just a wild, crazed dog.
Well, I'll go West Virginia. I'll go hills of West Virginia over Gainesville, Florida kid growing up.
Okay.
It's a
street
fight.
A little Hatfield-McCoy type of strategy there.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay, I didn't think about that.
Speaking of that, the Manhattan airport is not the same. Are you telling me that the Little Apple, the airport there, is not quite the same as LaGuardia?
Oh, if they say this is the Little Apple, this is like the pit in the Little Apple. this place is tiny. I mean, I'm serious. There's feathers from all the livestock in this airport.
That bad in Manhattan, Kansas.
It's unbelievable. You know how when you come out and like, usually at a normal airport, there's someone waiting for you and direct you. Oh, they look and they go, hey, it's over there.
Yeah. The one that opened up the door on the airplane is also the one selling tickets at the counter and getting the bags off the plane. Is that what you're telling me?
People.
It's all one person?
There were two people standing outside the airplane, and then like an arm's distance away it said arrivals. And it was.
Save
a lot
man.
Of gas at this airport, yeah. That's for sure.
Let me guess. They did not present you the key to the city when you arrived.
I don't think there's anybody. I don't think they have a key to the city. Okay. There's no doors in the city. You just come on in.
Don Hawes, ladies and gentlemen, big proponent of Manhattan, Kansas, joining us as he is there to cover Auburn, Kansas State tomorrow night. And look, they've talked about this being the biggest ticket maybe ever for a Kansas State game. It's a sellout of a cute little 55,000 there at their stadium. My question is, what else have you got to do on a Thursday night in Manhattan, Kansas?
Well, I can not tell be sold you out. From the last 10 minutes, probably not much.
Okay.
Really. I mean, do you see that movie Twister? I think they filmed it here. There's nothing here. There's nothing. The best thing about the flight in here was looking at the clouds. There's nothing here. Really,
yeah.
There's nothing here.
Yeah.
Hey, there's our plane, because it's the only one there.
It's. What time does our plane arrive? You mean the plane?
Yeah, the plane. Not our plane. The plane. It's really quite bizarre. It's a little
final
bit like
shot.
That TV
they
show
mowed
Max.
The runway so you could land. Is that what you're telling
yeah.
me?
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But anyways, yeah, it is. This game, I guess, was sold out for like 9 months. They're pretty jacked up about this. So if they seat 56,000, I guess that would be comparable to what, like Ole Miss? It's bigger than Vanderbilt, the stadium,
yeah.
from what I hear. So probably like an atmosphere of Ole Miss, but they're pretty jacked up. This is, I guess, the highest-ranked non-conference opponent they've had here for like 45 years. So they're pretty excited about this game. And, Thursday night games are always kind of dangerous games if you're not in the right frame of mind as a team. So it's kind of a trap game for Auburn. There's no question about that. They got to come out here and play well.
I don't disagree. And Bill Snyder is obviously a tremendous coach. He did an incredible job there with that program. I'll watch the highlights, though, of the games. Watch him the other night as we were getting ready to go on the air on your show, and I'm sitting there and I watch.
When you're in
Kansas
the green
State.
Room, which by the way, we still got to pick up the bottles in there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that was
that.
Just you. Kansas State, just I know they talk about their speed at quarterback, what they're able to do. They still look at minimum a half step slower than what I see from Auburn. What I watch them on film. Do you think that's fair, or is that something we won't have a better gauge of until kickoff on Thursday?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's definitely fair. No question about it. And I think another big difference that might come out of this game, which is a lot of times when non-conference teams go up against SEC teams, is the size of the linemen. Both sides of the line, offensive line, defensive line, especially defensive line with the quickness of the Auburn defensive line. But, the Big 12 is definitely a lot of really quick, fast guys, but not necessarily big guys. The best thing I can kind of equate it to is when we were at the BCS championship game a few years ago when Oregon went up against Auburn, and the size of Auburn and the strength of Auburn along the line just eventually wears down the other team's line. You know, now look at Oregon's speed. There's no way Kansas State has that kind of speed. So I would think just based on pure size and strength, Auburn should be good. And then you throw their offense on top of it, that's scoring, what, about 52 points a game. I would tend to think this is going to lean towards Auburn tomorrow night.
Don Hawes, sports director of Alabama's 13, the NBC affiliate, of course, in Birmingham, 5, 6, and 10, anchoring the sportscast and host of a great 30-minute show each weeknight called Alabama's Tonight that airs at 6:30 live in Manhattan, Kansas. Tomorrow it is Kansas State and the Auburn Tigers. And look, to me right now, Gus Malzahn has the best of both worlds. He's got a tremendous team that is ranked 5th in the country. And yet they still seem to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder, which I don't think is a bad thing at all.
No, you think about it. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of talk about Auburn right now. You kind of hear them a little bit on the fringe conversation, but in the national picture, when it comes to that playoff, every now and then someone will throw them in there, but you're not hearing a whole lot of talk about them. And there's no question they still got that chip on their shoulder, which is odd for a team that just won the SEC championship, the championship in the toughest league in the country, but they haven't forgotten what happened in Pasadena last year, and they are you know, last year they were way under the radar. They weren't even ranked when they went to Texas A&M last year. Now they're fifth in the country now, but it's a very quiet hold them back depending on how the game's going. If they jump out to a pretty good lead, I think maybe they're going to be careful with him. But he's he hasn't been a real big factor in this offense so far. Against Arkansas, I believe he only caught a couple of passes, maybe even one pass. Even though he was in on a lot of plays, he didn't catch a lot of passes because Duke Williams, the newest receiver for Auburn, got a lot of, I think he caught nine passes in that Arkansas game. So they haven't really needed Sammy Cook yet, but if they can get him healthy and back to the way he was last year, and you pair him with what Duke Williams brings to that offense, boy, look out. I mean, they're going to be even that more dangerous than they already are. So I think they're going to give him every opportunity to go full speed in this game. Hopefully, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, you certainly want to see him back in there.
I don't know if it's good or bad that the schedule falls as it does, but you've got a marquee game as far as your coverage is concerned, Don. On Thursday night, you get a chance to get back in the high school deal on Friday, and then another major game on Saturday with Alabama and Florida. I don't know if you're going to get back to Tuscaloosa for that or where you'll be, but I do want to get your thoughts on this one, because Alabama still a double-digit favorite. In fact, I think a two-touchdown favorite, according to many, because of Florida having to go three overtimes against Kentucky last weekend.
I think it's really wait and see on both those teams, as we talked about on Alabama tonight when you came on back on Monday. Auburn or Alabama, to me right now, does not look like the number two team in the country. That doesn't mean they can't become the number two team in the country. And Florida, whoever would have thought in their right mind they would need triple overtime at home to beat Kentucky. So you don't know what's going on, you know, with that program. When, you know, Kentucky's a much improved team, but they're still Kentucky. You know, there's no reason that never happened when Urban Meyer was there or when Spurrier was there. I mean, they just blinked their eye and Kentucky was back on the plane and headed out of town. And now all of a sudden they're going to triple overtime against those guys. So, you know, you don't really know. I'm not sold on Alabama yet. I still need to see a little bit more out of that offensive line and out of that defense. Blake Sims is quietly doing pretty well, and I think they got to be happy about that. But I don't know. I think 15 points is a lot in that spread. But Bama could win by 30. Who knows? This is a weird game because you really don't have a feel for either one of those teams. And here we are already in mid September.
Yeah, it's funny. I think about Blake Sims, and I've talked a little bit about his numbers, and he's completed 75% of his passes at this point. And I know we really haven't played anything close to what we're going to see this weekend and in the weeks to come. But 75% of his passes, just by comparison, A.J. McCarron completed 67% each of the last 2 years for Alabama at quarterback. How high in the HeismanPundit.com rankings would Jake Coker be if he were in Blake Sims' role and had put up those numbers?
Oh, yeah. Considering he was on a bunch of watch lists before he even took a snap, and now he's not even the starting quarterback, if he were putting up those numbers and was starting, he'd be well up there in the conversation. There's no, and another thing that has impressed me about Blake Sims, the running game that he has behind them. I know Yeldon and Henry both went for over 100 yards in the opener, but by and large, that running game has not been what we thought it was going to be in terms of being able to run up the middle. They can certainly get outside, but the offensive line hasn't put things together yet, and that hasn't allowed that running game to open up, which, if that happens, that's really going to open things up for Blake Sims. So I think, considering what Sims has been able to do with the running game, that certainly is good, and we know it's good because we've seen it in the past, but if they ever get that going, I think he's going to be even better. And I'll be the first to admit, I am shocked Blake Sims has played as well as he has. And, you know, if I'm a Bama fan, I don't think you can be anything but encouraged by what he's doing.
I would agree with you. You know, right now, 48-64 with one interception, four touchdowns, 646 yards total, averaging about 215 per game. So, you know, very efficient. And obviously, we will know more because the competition level goes up infinitely with what they're going to face in the next few weeks. After a bye week, they go to Oxford, they go to Fayetteville, then it's Texas A&M, Tennessee. before another off week, and then LSU, and you're down the home stretch at that point. So it's a huge test, but I've got to think that at least in the quarterback play, regardless of who it is, Alabama's in a good spot. Last thing before I let you go, dear Lord, what is Jameis Winston thinking?
Yeah, we really can't talk about that too much, can we?
Well, here's what gets me with Jimbo Fisher. You know, he's once again put himself in a very negative light.
Oh, absolutely. And here's what I don't get. Jimbo Fisher, to me, seems like a very smart man. But Jimbo Fisher is enabling this guy to do this ridiculous stuff. Because, you know, he always says, oh, Jameis is a good kid, and he never makes the same mistake twice, and he learns from his mistakes. Really? Are you kidding me? I don't get it. This guy has got opportunity written all over him, and he's doing his best to try and screw it up. I don't know what he's thinking. I guess he just thinks he's untouchable. And one of these days he's going to screw up and do the wrong thing and find out just how untouchable he is.
And again, for those that don't know, he has been suspended for the first half of a game, basically doing something very elementary in his behavior, very juvenile, I guess would be the way.
What did he do? What did he say?
Yeah, I can't say what he said, or then I'm in trouble.
Come on, just tell me. What did he do?
But there's something that has been kind of an internet sensation, a lot of deals, where it's just something that you...
Really, you can't tell me what he said?
Say. I can't tell you what he said.
Come on.
But he's in the student union, which is the equivalent of the lunchroom, right? In high school. And he stands up on the table and says what is said on this popular internet video. It's like being in high school. But if he does this in high school, the kid's suspended from school for minimum 3 days, isn't he? If he does it in high school. So here he is in college. With everything that's gone on, and always suspended for a half a game.
What did he say?
I'll text it to you.
I don't understand what Jimbo Fisher is letting. I mean, I know he's the Heisman Trophy winner. I know he's the face of your program. But my goodness, when do you suck it up and sit the kid down for a game and say, what in the heck are you even thinking? I don't get it.
He might, but his backup quarterback is now the backup quarterback in Tuscaloosa. So he's got to ride a poor decision-making horse as far as he can right now. Hey,
be careful. Right?
You got live reports coming up from Manhattan starting today at 5. Is that correct?
Yeah, 4 o'clock. We got that 4 o'clock thing now. So we'll be on
there. I didn't realize that.
And, by the way, seeing as they're our segment sponsor, the first sign I saw when I got in, it was a Bud Light sign. So they got to do a little taste here in Manhattan.
Hey, I hate to do this, but the guy that handles the account with our friends at Green Beverage sent me a text, said, let Don Haas know you have a coworker that watched him on Fox 10 in Mobile when he was 4, if you want to make him feel old. And I wouldn't do that to you.
Ooh, that's the way back
machine. Because I get a lot of that done to me, and I refuse to do that.
Hey, I'd rather be this age than not, because the alternative is not good.
Well, the comeback I have always is, look, of course I'm this age. You can't look this good in any shorter amount of time.
That's right.
You have to work towards this.
Bud Light helps preserve the age. Let him know that.